This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Later in the hour, we'll talk about whether the Supreme Court may be allergic to math. But first, we're starting to understand that our microbiome, the trillions of bacteria, viruses, fungi in our gut, has a far-reaching influence way beyond just our digestive system. It's been called our second brain. There's almost uncountable unseen microbes. These almost uncountable unseen microbes can affect our mood, our physical health, even our risk of disease. And scientists are investigating how this mix of microbes interacts with one of the most complicated diseases. I'm talking about cancer and what this might mean for treatments. A group of researchers looked at how the bacteria in the body of melanoma patients affected their treatments. And the results were published this week in the journal Science. Let me introduce my guest. Jennifer Wargo is an author on that study. She's also a professor of surgical oncology and genomic medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you so much, Ira.
You're welcome. In your study, you compared the microbiome of melanoma patients that were and were not responding well to immunotherapy. And what did you find?
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, Ira, so we actually had known about some science that was published a few years ago that showed in mice that if you look at the bacteria in the mice, and you can actually see differences between mice and that respond or don't respond to immunotherapy, and you can actually change their microbiome and make them respond better to cancer therapy. And so, you know, we saw this as an opportunity to study this in patients. And so what we did is we collected both oral and gut microbiome samples from hundreds of patients with metastatic melanoma. And what we found when we looked specifically at patients being treated on immunotherapy is that patients who had a higher diversity of bacteria within their gut microbiome did much better on therapy, and specifically this is a form of therapy called anti-PD-1, whereas patients who failed to respond to therapy had a much lower diversity of bacteria. No, on top of that, we also saw, so diversity of the microbiome matters, but also we looked at, you know, not only how diverse is the microbiome, but what bacteria are actually there. And so we also saw differences in the composition of the microbiome, the gut microbiome, between responders and non-responders.
Were you able to, referring back to your mouse study, I remember that study. They gave specific like probiotics to the mice, right?
Correct. And that was landmark work done by both Tom Gajewski from the University of Chicago and by Dr. Laurent Zitvogel from the University of in France, Gustave Roussy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was not on those studies, but I actually saw those studies presented at the annual meeting of the Society for the Immunotherapy of Cancer. And I was completely floored when I saw the data presented. You know, when I got up to the microphone and asked, Tom's postdoc, you know, essentially, you know, this is amazing data. Have you studied this in patients? You know, and at the time they hadn't. And so, again, we saw this as an opportunity to see, you know, if what was going on in the mice was going on in patients.
But could you define the exact probiotics in the mice or the exact bacteria in the mice that were effective?
Right. And so in Tom Gajewski's study, bifidobacteria was actually determined to be the driver of enhanced responses to therapy. And, you know, so we wanted to see if the same type of bacteria was driving the response in patients.
And did you find the same thing?
Well, we found something a little bit different, you know, and that's, you know, probably understandable given the difference in the microbiome between the mouse and man. What we found, you know, was that we didn't necessarily see bifidobacteria as a major driver. We saw other bacteria, including bacteria in the Clostridiales ruminococcus faecali bacteria group, as being more abundant in the gut of patients who responded to the immunotherapy.
Mm-hmm. Can you actually buy that bacteria and eat it yourself if you want to?
No, that's a great question, you know, and I think, but, you know, and what you're driving at is, you know, could you actually change the microbiome to enhance responses to therapy, not only in mice, but how about in patients? And, you know, that's exactly what, you know, we hope to do. Now, how do you change the microbiome? You can do it in a couple of ways. You know, one way is certainly something called fecal microbiome transplant, or, you know, give someone a poop pill, you know, where you essentially take a microbiome from another person and put it into that person with cancer, treat them with immunotherapy, and hopefully, you know, make them respond much better. And, you know, so we're going to be working, you know, we're working with the Parker Institute for Cancer Immunotherapy and an industry partner to do just that, to implement a clinical trial, you know, to see if we can do that.
And what are the pathways that the gut bacteria are able to influence the cancer and how these therapies work?
Yeah, and I think that's a great question. And, you know, as you highlight, in our bodies, we have, you know, trillions of microbes. The largest proportion of these are in the gut. And, you know, all along, you know, the gut has a very large surface area, and all along that surface area, the gut bacteria can actually interact with immune cells via, you know, metabolites or either toll-like receptors and cytokines, or, you know, and can induce cytokine responses or other, you know, kind of more distant effects from those local phenomenon within the gut, you know, which then we believe is influencing, you know, not only the site of the tumor, but overall immunity.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work on the tumor?
Well, what it does is, you know, what our, you know, what we think is happening is that, you know, a more favorable gut microbiome, you know, in our paper, when we actually looked and profiled the gut microbiome and compared it to the immune cells within the tumor, we found that patients who had a more favorable gut microbiome with more Ruminococcus clostridiale faecali bacteria actually had a higher density of T cells, or, you know, killer T cells in their tumor, and these T cells were more activated. Mm. You know, they expressed more markers of cytolytic markers.
So do you think there was a genetic background to this, why one population of people has more of the gut bacteria than another of the good?
Well, it's probably a number of different factors. You know, I think one factor is certainly, you know, diet. I think diet plays a major role as far as, you know, what you eat, you know, critically influences your microbiome. I think, you know, medications can actually affect the microbiome. You know, one big class of medications that can affect the microbiome is antibiotics.
Right.
You know, Laurent Zitvogel, who also published in Science this week, looked at a group of patients, cancer patients, who were treated with, again, immunotherapy, and found that if they had received antibiotics just before, just after they started treatment, that the therapy was much less effective.
Hmm. You had a study out last month that looked at how the bacteria on the tumor might affect chemotherapy. What did you find there?
Correct. Yes. So that was work that I did with a group from Harvard. And, you know, what we found is, you know, we've been studying, you know, how to potentially try and enhance responses to cancer therapy for a number of years. And, you know, we had done studies in tumors of patients with cancer. And what we found was that in, you know, about 75% of patients with pancreatic cancer, we can actually find bacteria which were capable of breaking down chemotherapy, namely gemcitabine.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's bad for the person,
yeah.
you know, certainly.
You don't want it to break down the chemo.
It breaks down the chemotherapy and makes it ineffective,
yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, it's tricky because you say, well, gosh, could you just treat someone with chemotherapy and an antibiotic? But now we know that, you know, the antibiotics can actually affect the gut microbiome. So, you know, there's a delicate balance here.
Yeah, so where do you go from here with your studies? You try to isolate which are the good bacteria and do further studies in people?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the critical point here is that, you know, we certainly have some knowledge of this, but there's still a great deal to learn. You know, there's amazing people worldwide looking at this, and, you know, we're all working together, you know, as a group to better understand this, and that's the ideal way to do it. You know, a couple of ways to do it, certainly by running the clinical trials, you know, to actually test whether or not if we change the microbiome that we can actually make people respond better to cancer therapy, you know, and again,
yeah.
We're working with you know, Parker Institute and others worldwide to do that, you know, but also critically, you know, taking, you know, samples from these patients in papers like this and saying, okay, what's common between these patients, you know, and is there, you know, based on this signature, you know, could we actually identify, you know, not just use fecal transplant, but could we identify a consortia of bacteria that we could give to a patient, you know, which we could then, you know, hopefully would help mediate better immune responses and better responses to immunotherapy.
Because you never know how, you know, the bacteria depend on each other. You take them out
right.
of their home, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so when scientists now are talking about cancer therapies, they're actively discussing including immunotherapy and putting some bacteria in or some sort of probiotics or a poop pill or something like that. They're not thinking it as an isolated
Correct.
Immunotherapy.
And, you know, nor, And I think, you know, what we're starting to understand is that, you know, the microbiome can influence responses even to chemotherapy. And, you know, Dr. Zitvogel showed that previously. Mm. And so, you know, and so I think, you know, this has widespread implications, you know, but it's early days. And I think, you know, anyone who's, you know, kind of thinking about, you know, patients should certainly work with their providers, you know, shouldn't really try this on their own. I think it needs to be done in the context of carefully planned out clinical trials. But, you know, I think ultimately, you know, we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm. And what is your exact next step? What are you doing next? More trials?
Definitely. So, you know, I think this was, you know, what we call, you know, kind of a retrospective analysis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was looking in patients who were on treatment, you know, just looking at the signatures. Now we're doing a prospective trial where we actually, you know, enroll patients with cancer that are getting treated with immunotherapy, and then, you know, we'll be treating them with, you know, either with a fecal transplant or, you know, with other ways to manipulate the microbiome. And then we'll do a very careful assessment, you know, how effective are we at actually manipulating the microbiome, and can we actually, have we improved responses?
Do you always look for patients? Do you need patients for studies like this?
Absolutely. The studies aren't open quite yet, but, you know, we're hoping they'll be open in the next couple of months, but, you know, definitely. And you know, the patients really contribute to this. You know, we owe it to the patients because they're the ones who donated the samples to really help us better understand this.
Yeah, because we always, you know, we always talk about studies, but we read ourselves as journalists how few patients you can get sometimes looking for studies when you actually need them. Yeah. Well, we wish you very good luck on this, Dr. Wanger.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Wargo is an author on that study that was published in Science. She's also a professor of surgical oncology and genomic medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Of course, that is in Houston. We're going to take a break, and afterwards, we're going to expand out and get a grand tour of the microbiome, a look at a microbial map of the world. You want to talk about your own? We're going to swab the whole earth here in search of the variety of microbiome. As they used to say in Wide World of Sports, we'll be back after this break. Stay with us.